I'm going to grab your toes.
With his toes.
Okay.
I was going to say with my tongue, but that works too.
That's hot.
I have slippers on. Stop trying to grab my toes with your toes.
I think I might have done a war crime this week against myself.
What? That's acceptable.
I might have accidentally awakened something within my girlfriend.
Oh.
So that's great. I like grabbed her toe as a joke.
Right.
I was being like retarded and just like flopping around and being stupid. Yeah. And then
she liked it.
I can't tell if she was joking or not, and I'm very scared.
Let me tell you something. This is where it starts.
I'm sure. Right?
This is exactly where it starts, because girls like their fucking feet being touched. It's a big thing. I don't know why. Uh-huh. It makes the monkey brain in their head go ooh, ooh, when you touch their feet.
All so right? Now what I'm trying to tell you is I removed her feet. For the sake of everyone, you know, if your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. You know, easy solution.
So you have to cut off her feet.
Yeah,
because you sinned.
Yeah, it's yeah. It's like telling the 14-year-old girl at the youth group to cover up because the youth leaders can't keep to themselves. You know.
Oh, don't even remind me of that shit. That's
too late. I already reminded you.
That shit's the worst. Vibe a comic that might cost more than a dime. Come meet the brothers
who are here to waste your time. Welcome back to the Dime Comic Bros podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Spencer, average war crime committer. I am joined by Jacob, the Annihilator. And Colin.
Ooh!
No title necessary.
No title necessary.
It's hot.
It is hot. It is still summer, sadly. I'm
comfortable.
Fuck you.
Sick of summer.
Well, you're probably hot because...
What are you wearing?
He's wearing fucking sweatpants right now and a regular sweatpants. Shirt.
They're not fucking... Bottoms.
There's the same thing.
Those
are fucking pants.
He is wearing
those
too
pants
much.
Are for fucking and for starting to fuck.
Wait, what?
Well...
Those pants...
Prove it.
Oh my gosh, the way that you just looked at him was perfect. I'm gonna leave. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Give you guys some privacy.
Have you never heard that, like, there's... I forgot you guys are on TikTok, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
We've been trying to tell you that for years.
Yeah, but...
Since, like...
Reasons.
2018?
Yeah, but the ladies love the gray sweatpants, and they also love the flannel pants. There's something that just, like... Touching their feet, it just hits their monkey brain, and they're like, ooga.
Colin is full of monkey brain trivia today.
I am, because I am monkey.
Apparently he knows what the ladies like.
I do, I just don't fucking like them half the time.
That's fair. So, yes, it is still summer, sadly for us. We have been lamenting our struggles. The swamp ass, the stinky pits.
I think I get seasonal depression during summer.
I know, I get that. It's a
winter is fun.
True. Winter is fun. And I enjoy the, oh, it's so sad outside.
Yeah.
During summer, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to be enjoying this? Really? I'm going to go inside and like sleep. Yeah,
because it hurts to be outside.
Everything hurts. Yeah. No transition on this one. We're discussing the Guardians of the Galaxy run written by Donny Cates from 2018 or 2019. It is 12 issues. The first six are arted by Jeff Shaw, I believe, and then the second half is done by, drum roll please, I am freeballing today and super unprepared.
Freeballing. Which means no undies.
I was just thinking
I never
that.
Have any undies. What are you talking about?
Oh.
First six issues are arted by Jeff Smith, and then 7 through 12 is by Corey Smith. There's also an annual in the middle with various artists and writers.
Issues.
So, like, issues. Every... Issues. So, like, every Guardians of the Galaxy run, it's a very bizarre team of wacky, wacky folk doing an adventure. So, Thanos has died. That was the recent, at the time, Infinity event, if I remember correctly. Hmm. Thanos was murked. And so they're having his funeral. He has this big all my enemies will get into a room to read my will, Lamau type thing. And then his brother, what's his name?
Dipshit.
He's the guy who has the pheromone powers that Marvel tries to act like don't exist anymore because they're very rapey.
Purple man.
His brother, who is ethically contentious, let's say, gets everyone in the room and is like, okay, so we're going to read over the will. And then Thanos is like, Lamau, I'm going to get reborn in a new body. Fuck you. And then lots of stuff happens. That's the first arc. And it has a really weird lineup of people. So we have your classics, your Peter Quill, your Gamoras, kind of. Your Nebulas make an appearance. But also, Yes, as the cover tries to tell you, and I would say the marketing probably for this pushed a lot, Cosmic Ghost Rider, Beta Ray Bill, and a lot of like classic Guardians characters that I'm not super familiar with are pretty heavily involved. So there, it's just varying teams of people trying to figure out who Thanos is going to be reborn into. Of course they think it's Gamora, his daughter, because of course they do. And then Peter's like, no, you can't kill my ex-girlfriend! Groot is edgy and says fuck a lot, and
I am Groot.
Is actually a notable part of this book. Groot's dialogue is just translated for us instead of it being the usual, like, you have to translate it through what the characters are saying back to him. The book just presents what he's saying because the book is through Peter's POV.
I like it.
It works for this run, at least. I don't care much either way, but it's nice to have like a break, because I'm also reading the current Guardians run right now, and that's a lot of Groot dialogue, let's say.
Good.
Rocket.
Rocket old man thingy?
Yeah, so towards the end of the story, Rocket gets kind of recruited to come help because he is fucking dying because, like, his proprietary software in his cybernetics or some shit are giving out, so he's like crippled and dying, and then he makes a mech suit because of course he does.
Yep. The mech suit is great.
That part of the book is fucking awesome.
It's great. Ghost Rider, there is something about Cosmic Ghost Rider. He looks always so sexualized.
Interesting.
I don't know what it is. Every time I see him, He's you know how, like,
I think it's
elves in the Hobbit movie, yeah, or like how elves in the Hobbit movies that, or Lord of the Rings, they're like very sexualized ish,
yes,
because they're ethereal or whatever. Oh. He's kind of got that same vibe, but hell,
I guess
I don't see it.
I sort of see what he's saying.
I think it feels sexual when you don't have like a belt. When you don't have a belt,
it always goes back to the belt.
It does go back to the belt. I don't know what it is, but like when superheroes or characters don't have that torso,
no belt buckle, take off your pants.
That torso torso to like leg ratio where there's like no cutoff. It's like the art design. How do I explain this correctly? So with like costumes and such like that, your eyes are drawn to certain areas, like depending on like the patterns or like which way they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And with his skull, when you look at art design like that or costume design, his skull makes you look down to his crotch. It's like pointed straight down to it. And I'm like, huh.
It's like ties.
Yeah, actually.
Big
Except
point.
You have a cutoff.
Yeah.
And then your shirt is different color as your pants. So it doesn't drag your eyes down there. You just have to be horny.
No comment. Huh? I kind of get what you're saying, though. He is a very odd design. I like it, but it is very
Well, it's like how the Flash suit, all of his like lines, they all point to his crotch.
Well, yeah.
Every single line. No, he's Flash suit in the new movie is bad.
He's
obviously
the fastest man alive.
And yeah, so everything has to be pointed towards his crotch.
Balls.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first arc I did quite like, but I honestly was a little disappointed with the cover. This is a very nitpicky thing. I think the cover of the book, and like the alt covers as well, like it tries to portray like this team, like the team of Guardians is going to be a really eclectic group. It's not. it's mostly characters we already know and are like kind of established members, and then some extra tag-alongs. Like, they're on opposing teams, and they don't get as much focus. The cover is more alluding to the second part of the arc, but they involve the same characters. So, it's just a very odd thing. Whereas the first arc is all about Thanos and all of his random enemies from different parts of the universe and stuff, but it still ends up being about, like, Peter and Gamora, which is fine. I like their interpersonal drama. He did, in fact, get stabbed by his ex-girlfriend pretty bad last time, so... You know, drama and stuff, but it was very odd. It felt like that plot line, I didn't know that this was kind of broken up into two chunks, because I just, Jacob suggested the book and I went, okay. I didn't know that there were like two arcs in this. I thought this whole series was going to be about the Thanos plot line, and then it wrapped up in six issues and I went, wait, what the fuck? Where are we going?
He's.
And then the second arc is interesting and I like it, but it's the less dramatic of the two, I think. So it kind of feels like it...
That's strange, because I didn't get to reread this before passing it around to everybody, but the Rocket drama, like, it was my biggest takeaway from the book.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I suggested doing this. I suggested it back when Guardians 3 had, like, just come out, and I'm like, it's kind of, sort of, but not really based on this book.
Yeah, no, there's definitely influences there.
So, I don't know. That's what I remember from the book, is, no, like, all the Rocket stuff. No,
definitely the most interesting stuff. It's just mostly contained to, like, the middle portion. Like, it doesn't... It's just odd. I don't know. I felt like this... Guardians series are usually canceled really early, and they're not, they're expected to be, I think most of them are under 25 issues, and then this one got 12, and it's like, that's rough. You know, I don't know if that was planned or not, but it definitely feels like if they had known they were only going to get 12, which is usually like a maxi series, they probably would have formatted it differently. Like, right. The plotting would have been set out different. And
it's too bad, too, because I really, really enjoyed this book when I read it. It's, I don't, it looks great. It reads quickly, but it's a fun romp.
Yeah. I do particularly like the art in the first half. Jeff Shaw is, like, a very underrated artist, in my opinion. I don't like all of the designs. I think when all of the different other cosmic characters are all, like, sitting in a room, it feels like a lot of styles are clashing there in a weird way. I couldn't, like, tell you anymore. But I do like how well the Guardians designs, like, in and of themselves, our actual main characters look. And so since this book came out post MCU Guardians, which, like any fucking comic book, the TV or film adaptations push a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? They make the comics like the movies because the movies are more popular. And Guardians got this really bad right after the first movie, from what I can recall. I think it was the Bendis run. I didn't read it, so I can't tell you. But I did appreciate how this one didn't feel super like that. Like, the lineup, yes, is mostly the popular ones right now, but it didn't feel like the story was going in anywhere near the same direction. The Universal Church of Truth stuff was obviously, in the second arc, involves Star-Lord's dad, which is an entirely different character than what they decided to do in the movies, which I do like both versions. He has, like, royal lineage. It's fucking weird. He's a weird character. It just didn't feel like it was, fuck, there's a specific term for it. It drives me fucking crazy. I was bitching about this last week. But whatever. That when they try to homogenize everything, you know? And I just didn't feel like that was super present here, despite this being, this would have been probably being written right around when Guardians 2 came out. So that's nice.
It's Donny Cates. He does his own thing.
Usually, yeah. Yeah. I do like how he didn't necessarily push Cosmic Ghost Rider that much in the book either, even though that's clearly, like, his baby, you know? Yeah. It wasn't, like, super prevalent. It was there, and it was cool, but it didn't overpower the book. Colin, give us some thoughts, boy. Come on.
Get book, in here. Book good. I have really no thoughts on this except for that Rocket make me tear up seeing him like that.
He got snot boogies.
Yeah, I love Rocket.
Lady
Death boobies. Cosmic Ghost Rider looks very sexual. I don't know what that says about me.
The Rocket stuff.
Art good in first half. Don't care for art in second half.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not bad. It just, there's something they feel like they're definitely similar, but the second half, what was his name?
It has to do with the inking.
I already forgot. It definitely isn't. I don't have art words for it. They're supposed to be very similar styles, and they are, but the second one's just not as much to my liking.
The Rocket plotline in this book is kind of like a commentary on people, on aging, and then the Rocket plotline in the Guardians 3 is kind of like a commentary on people dying. They're similar, but
they're not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I like both.
Yeah. That was also part of what I... Wait. Am I stupid?
Maybe.
Yes.
Probably.
I like the fact that Gamora... I was getting my plot lines confused because there's also something similar going on in the current run. I like the side plot-ish of Gamora, like, kind of hovering around Rocket to put him out of his misery so no one else does. Like, I like that drama angle. I like how much it's like, not to just draw a really weird parallel, but in the first Creed movie, Rocky's like quiet.
It always comes back to Creed.
Yes. Rocky's like quiet acceptance of his own death is not a good choice, but it is a very understandable one. And that's something that I think his performance nails really well because, you know, Sly is getting old. Of like, all my friends are dead. I don't have anything else to live for. So if I, you know, get hurt, I'm not going to fix myself, you know? And there's a level of, like, I don't want people to see me like this. It is a pride thing. You willingly retreating from your social circles because you don't feel good and, like, you don't want people to see you like that, that's a pride problem. But it's a very understandable feeling, and I think that they demonstrated it really well with Rocket. And even though him and Gamora weren't even really on good terms, like, she's still willing to make sure that, like, people don't go near him, you know? I don't know. I think it's an interesting dynamic.
I think you're like, the last one with thoughts.
You are the last one with thoughts.
Wow, guys. Wow. I do want to go back and read the... It's either the run right before this or the one after this. The Al Ewing run, which I believe is 18 issues. Hmm. I think I'm going to pick that one up sometime soon. Because these are... Most of these runs are available in like a trade that's just the whole run, which is like my favorite. Like those size trades are my favorite thing.
Hold on.
I'm going to tickle your balls. Nice. That's hot. Yes.
It's been on my stack of this might be next.
I was also considering putting it on our to-do list if possible.
I think it's too chunky.
It's a bit much, yeah. 18 issues is a lot.
About the bojo.
It's the next run. I'm having a hyper focus, so I kind of wanted to do it just to get some more variety. So it's not, you know, right back to Doctor Strange books. You can't stop me.
So you read a Doctor Strange book, right?
No. We read A Vicious Circle, issue 2.
Colin didn't.
No, I did not.
Bingus. Someone didn't pay attention.
You said last week that we would do it this week.
Fucking hell, dude.
Oh, fucking hell, bro.
Whatever.
Plug your ears! So this issue picks up, surprisingly enough, right where the last issue left off. Our protagonist falls through time into dinosaur land and is all, wait, if I can't kill people, do I have to wait for people to, like, exist to kill people? Because if I kill bugs or kill animals, it doesn't do the weird timey-wimey shit. So he's getting all wigged out. He thinks he might be the one to have invented fire, which I thought was a nice moment. And then he hits his head really hard and then has a big flashback, which actually gets us caught up to speed.
Yes.
I like this issue a lot more than the first one. I thought the first issue was really good, but the very lacking information, the in media res opening, was very overwhelming for me. And I reread it a few times, and just not having the context was like, what the fuck is... I don't understand the mechanics here.
I don't know. I liked it. I liked both of them equally. It was nice to have the sudden start and just be like, whoa, this is weird. What's going on?
I guess.
And then have the explanation, and then that leaves us with, well, where's this going? How's it going to wrap up in an issue?
Yeah. No, I like I said, I really enjoyed it. It was very jarring. This issue, I think... puts in a lot of effort to just, you know, he's like, oh, your whole life is going to flash before your eyes when you die. So it just shows us, like, all the events preceding this, basically. He's from the future, so is the bad guy, who might not be a bad guy. He got involved. He's like a non-government contractor. He has a Batman suit, which I thought was fucking sick as shit. He's like a mercenary, basically. So he's told to go get a thing. They made this new invention that'll like collide timelines or some shit. And then a fucking bomb goes off in his face and in front of the other guy's face because he's a bad guy. So they get like timey-wimey juice stuck in their blood or whatever. So they're like linked. They're a force dyad.
They are interlinked.
I really like that. It's so hokey, and I do like that. The 2-page spread of when the explosion goes off, and it shows them and their like facial injuries going through different like time periods was really cool.
Both of them getting shot in the face was disgusting.
That was really cool because they like both shot each other at the same time as the bomb going off. Yeah. It's so silly, and I love that. They get dropped in a few different time periods. They go to like medieval Europe. And then they go to during World War II, and then the bad guy kills Hitler. And I love that shot for obvious reasons, duh. But it's really interesting because of the implications that it has of like getting us caught up to speed. The fact that they didn't stop World War II from happening, but they stopped it from getting so bad, and they stopped like seemingly the majority of the Holocaust. History is very different. So then the timeline that he's in where we started is like the 50s, but like not racist. Mostly not. It's not.
It was still pretty racist.
It wasn't as bad.
Okay.
It wasn't as bad. So like, it's a really weird dynamic, and that's why he stayed. Was like, wait, if this is better, why don't I just like, stay here? And then it gets us like caught up to speed on what the fuck's happening, and then he wakes up with, you know, the bad guy standing over him and being like,
what the fuck?
Oh, what's the stupid line? The stupid cyberpunk line. You know what I'm talking about. The stupid fucking wake up fucking whatever the
wake,
fuck.
Wake the fuck up, samurai.
We
got a city to burn.
That's the exact vibes I got off of that one. Like 100%. That's what I saw there.
Okay.
I saw you there.
I really, really like the art in this one even more. I like the time period differences, and I like how well they used different saturation levels in the coloring between like the medieval period and the modern, not modern period, and the future stuff was really cool. It doesn't have the same array of Liebermejo. Like in the first issue, it was very
flex,
drastically different art styles, which was fantastic. And, you know, wildly varying colors, but I like how much this one emphasized the tone of each setting without straying super hard away from his style. Like, the prehistoric time period was very gross feeling. It was very... It felt sticky. Like, yellow and green and moist. You know?
Weird.
I don't know. That's the vibe I got off of it. And then, like, the like, World War II-ish time period was kind of moderately desaturated and, like, very grayed out because... holy shit, morality or something. He also helps some Jews hide. That was fun. He gets put in a cool conundrum, which I thought was really cool, where if he kills the Nazis coming for the Jewish family he's kind of protecting, then the other Nazi will kill them because he'll get teleported to somewhere else. So he has to go non-lethal, which I thought was cool.
He needed the double headshot.
Yeah.
Kill.
I did not expect this villain to be, like, maybe not actually that bad. It's kind of a trope to do the whole, like, wow, look, he's so evil, but, like, you guys should team up, actually. But I'm curious where the fuck that's going. I'm also wondering why the hell this is 3 issues. This seems like this could have been a lot longer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, there's boobs in this one.
Oh, Colin finally shows interest.
Yeah, there's some breasts, my good sir.
He has a great set.
yeah, I'm gonna go reread this like sometime this week. This was fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude, I'm totally gonna reread this one too. I just have to read it first.
You're so special.
What is it, like $12?
10.
For the issue?
10.
She's up!
It's 10. It's a... I think it's...
10! 10 fucking dollars!
It's a prestige size, and it's a like a 64 issue.
Yeah, it's pretty long, and it's pretty looking. It's Liebermejo drawing his ass off.
It's a 64 page, and it's a like a it's wider.
Wait, are we 64 page issue?
Yes, you ding ding. It's a one shot size.
I know, but
you read the first one.
Yeah, I don't fucking remember it being that big, dumbass. Oh my word!
To be fair, that was like 6 months ago. Yeah, it's big.
When I bought issue number 2, I was talking about how so excited I am to read it, and Brad at Stairway to Heaven said, "Yeah, prepare for the next one to take another 6 months to a year."
True.
Like, stop raining on my party, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to draw this stuff, it would take like 10 years. So,
if I had to draw this stuff, I'd just fucking kill myself.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Colin.
Well, on that note.
Do you have something to bring to the table, sir?
Anyways, I watched like the first episode of My Adventures with Superman.
Hell yeah, brother.
Actually, I'm gonna talk about the first three because that makes the most sense, because that's like kind of its own arc-ish. Aww. Because
that was poking fun at how you did it.
So this show is like this anime cartoon inspired TV show depicting the dynamics of Lois, Jimmy Olsen, and Clark Kent. Clark is just discovering who he is as Superman, or as a person slash Kryptonian, like who he really is. And we're shown in the first couple scene, or the first scene before the title card, we see Clark as a young boy discovering that he has powers in the first episode. And then the second one, he discovers that, I think it's just the first two episodes I'm talking about. Anyways, in the second episode, he discovers that there's this weird, like, alien spaceship pod that he crashed to Earth in. But how they go about showing Clark's, like, backstory and how the alien tech works on his world is really cool, and it feels different. So we were first shown how different it can be in, like, Man of Steel, and how it's kind of, like, organic and stuff. But in this show, it's, like, this futuristic, like, super futuristic. It's not organic, but it does, like, the spaceship pod apparently grew since the last time that he saw it. And it was funny seeing how they buried it under a cornfield. So how much corn did they have to fucking waste just to dig that shit up? That pissed me off. So there's like a bunch of little things that like, or whatever, to cartoons, but it pissed me off about it. And then we see Clark just getting like beamed inside of his childhood like spaceship carriage thingy. And it's this whole other, almost like another realm, like a nothingness room, and then it bursts into like white light, and it's all this kind of Fortress of Solitude-esque feeling to it. Ooh. And then and then we get to see his dad, Jor-El, which I really like that he can't understand him because he's speaking Kryptonian. I was like, we've never seen that, or I have never seen that in like a show or in a movie, cartoon show or whatever. So that was really cool that there's like, that there is this disconnect in language. But he shows him, Jor-El shows Clark what happened to him, and Clark for so many years had no idea that this like hologram was his father, and he's still guessing as to who it is. We all know it's his father. But after showing Clark his whole backstory, or like his whole planet dying and everything, he's just like, I just don't know who I am. And then he gets this Sailor Moon-esque transformation into getting his Superman suit.
I love it so much.
I loved that, actually. At first, when you told me this, I totally forgot that this happened. Like, you told me about this
before. Colin forgot something that I told him. When the hell does that happen?
Shut up. And then I watched him, like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, yeah, Spencer warned me. But I watched it, and I really loved it. It just made sense. It made sense that Superman would be like this.
He's so fabulous.
He is fabulous. And then, of course, his mom's like, oh, we need to change this suit. Maybe a belt? Definitely need shorts. And so now he has his little underwear, and he has a belt, and now he's Superman, and he looks so cool.
You're just happy because he has a belt.
And underwear, dude. Fuck, dude. I don't want to be, like, drawn to his crotch all the time.
I always like it when they have the suit be part Kryptonian and part human. Like,
yeah.
Like, the classic, it was like a blanket, and then Ma Kent made it, is great. But I like the different interpretations of, like, she added the cape or, like, something like that. I like those sorts of little detail works.
I love that.
It makes it a lot more holistic.
I do love that as well. But also, I really like when Superman, like, his S on his chest, it's always known as Superman or whatever, but there's no, like, real reason. Like, if you follow the story of he got his suit from, like, being Kryptonian, then why is it so happen to be an S? That they make up Superman because it looks like an S?
Because and comics,
Man
bitch.
And then Man of Steel, I only can connect this, because of my lack of knowledge, I can only connect this to Man of Steel, where that means hope and shit like that. But, sorry, what? How much time? Okay.
You're fine.
It's just really cool to see that they don't care that much. It's Lois comes up with just calling him super, he's a Superman or something like that. It's like, oh, I like that. Not that it's Superman because of the S, because he didn't have the suit yet when she first saw him.
Yeah. I really like the crest that they chose. It's actually the one from the electric suit in the 90s.
But it is.
It works really well, like, line-wise with the other lines that they chose. It looks cool.
Also, I like their introduction to, like, different supervillains. I know, obviously, I should have known it was Slade, like Deathstroke, just by the color.
They twinkified Slade!
Yeah, they did, because he's... No, hold on. I should have known. First off, I was like, what is this twink doing here? He looks like he's a part of an army or Black Ops or whatever. And then one eye is literally covered with hair because he has twink hair. And then he has blue and orange. Why did I not realize it was Slade until I saw the dialogue read Slade and his dialogue? I'm like, it's fucking Slade. Okay, then why is he here? And then we have the electric girl or whatever her face is. I just can't remember what her name is.
He's such a silly boy.
And I love this show right now. And especially... I wanted to watch the show, but what really got me into the show was someone made a picture of, like, you remember that SpongeBob episode where they're introducing the Krabby Patty and SpongeBob's licking, the picture of Krabby Patty?
Yes.
It's a picture of Tomboy, Lois Lane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch this now.
Yeah.
This is my favorite Lois Lane.
Wow.
This is my favorite because I love... The Man of Steel one, she's great, but she's, like, very millennial for me, I guess.
Wow.
I do not know. She's very mom. And I like moms, but also, like, tomboy. Tomboy Lois Lane, I love. She also reminds me of Costco's from Guts. So
yes!
That's why! And I fucking love Costco. So this show is a
height difference. It's really funny.
Yep. This show. Also, I love that Lois actually just recognizes Clark. Like, she just likes Clark.
Yes.
It's not about this love triangle with her loving Superman. She just sees Superman as, oh, cool story. And then she sees Clark and she's like, ooh, big, strong man. He nice to me. He carried me. I like. And they just both like each other right now. And I like that because it pisses me off when she's just like, oh, I'm Lois Lane. I'm never going to look at Clark. But Clark always looks at me. But I kind of like Clark. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I hate that shit. This show, great. It is 10 out of 10. Great. Fantastic. Show. Love art.
No disagreement on this one, honestly. Jacob, I know it sounds really out of your wheelhouse, but I do think you'd like it. It is really good. Like
very
it,
good.
It sound where it's it sounds a lot more anime-esque than you think it is. Like, well, actually watching it, it feels like just watching like a Saturday morning cartoon, but like
yeah.
in a good way.
Yeah, it is a Saturday morning cartoon.
It's really high effort. The animation's really good. The dialogue is fantastic. The characters have lots of chemistry.
Okay, I have to point out one more thing. So the bad guys, they were like transporting. I didn't even really talk about the plot, but I don't care. They were transporting like all robots and whatever.
You talked about the plot.
I did. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, listen to me. The bad guys were trying to transport all these like military weapons and blah blah and robots, and Lois and Jimmy happened to be around at the dock where they were transporting them, and the big bad lady was like, "Hey, what are you doing? Get them!" And one of the goons decided to open up the robot box. And have them have a robot chase them. And the lady was like, "Why would you use the robot?" Because at first I was like, "This is so stupid. This is like being cartoon stupid." And then the lady's like, "You are dumb. Why would you do that?" I'm like, "Oh, okay. Wow. They said that it was dumb. Now I accept it."
Wow.
Damn, at least bro. There's some logic in the world, in that world.
Damn, bro. Himbo Superman all the way.
Himbo Superman all the way. Tomboy Lois Lane all the way.
Hit him.
Bonk. I need bonk. Oh, no bonk means I'm right. Okay.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Jacob. No. Mr. Jacob.
Meh.
Sir.
Meh.
Enlighten me to your wisdom. Share your life experiences with me.
I need something funny, and it's just not coming.
Penis! Penis muffin. Muffin penis? Penis in the... Did you know that your dick has a dick inside of it?
I read One Bad Day Penguin.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Penguin.
Penguin.
It's written by John Ridley... And it's arted by Giuseppe Gabagool.
Gabagool?
Okay, you read it, smartass.
Hold on, I'm going to take a seat. Giuseppe... common cauliflower.
Wow. Gabagool.
Gabagool! Oh my fuck.
We're only racist against Italians.
Fuck Italians, dude.
And Canadians and redheads.
No gingers.
Well,
redheads.
Whatever. It's a fine line. The penguin fell out of power. He was there was a mutiny. And he wasn't quite killed, but he was exiled, I guess. And he went away for a long, long time. And then today's the day he's taking it all back. So he starts out with a gun with one bullet. And he works his way up and he takes back his empire.
Damn.
The Batman's like, "I see you, you're being bad again," and Penguin tells him off and says, "You need me," and Batman says, "Golly, I guess you're right, I'll piss off." I don't know, the story was kind of boring. It's kind of cool how it shows how Penguin kind of does his thing.
Resourceful.
And that's kind of the book.
That was my exact reaction to reading this one. This was, like, tied for my second least favorite. It's, like, fine, but it's very...
Yeah.
Every Penguin story is like this.
It really felt like it should have been more than an issue if the writers could come up with, like, another subplot or two to throw in there.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be cool to see Penguin rising to power... And ruling Gotham and working deals and killing guys and whatever, but this is just there.
It's very point A to point B. There is no B plot. It's just A plot.
Yeah. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars because there's nothing really wrong with it.
Well,
meh.
Me.
Meh.
Me.
Wah! I want to see, Colin, you should do a Wario as the Penguin cosplay. Just saying.
I hate those cosplays where they make one character you cosplay as a character who's cosplaying as a character. I hate that shit.
No. You just split it right down the middle.
Ew. I just cosplay as Wario. I could be Wario.
Yeah, you are Wario.
Am I?
Yes.
I always thought it was Mario.
No.
I am Mario. Who's my Waluigi?
Oh, that's me.
Waluigi doesn't even exist. That is a fake bullshit character they made like 30 years after they made Wario. They made Waluigi for like Wii Sports or something.
Yes, it was Mario Tennis.
So stupid. So stupid.
What do you mean? You don't like Waluigi?
Wario is not just inverted evil Mario. He's a very unique and specific character with his own gameplay type. He has his own games. And then Waluigi is like, oh, we need an evil Luigi. And that's it. I hate him. I hate him so much.
He is so fucking in-depth about every single thing. I thought I was bad. Wario, it doesn't matter. Wario is still inverted Mario.
Only if you're looking at like the sports game versions. Like, I've played the first four WarioWare games. Like, he's an entirely different character.
Okay, what's the difference?
He's a different character. They just made him to be a bad guy. He's not, wow, look, it's Mario from the evil greedy dimension. He's not the same. He's not just flipped.
Okay, what doesn't make him flipped?
You're putting the burden of proof on me when
how
you
is
need
his
to
character
prove your
different?
Point.
What he's asking.
Yeah, how is he different?
He's not even evil. He's just grumpy. Waluigi is evil. He's always on the bad guy team. Wario is like an asshole.
He's always on the bad guy team?
Oh my god, kill yourself.
I'll be the Waluigi to your Wario.
Why?
Okay.
The fuck does that make me?
Because I'm taller.
That makes you fucking Toad, asshole.
Why can't it be Yoshi?
No, you wouldn't. You're Bloshi.
Wow.
You're Black Yoshi.
Thank you.
Monkey. No, hold on. You know who you would, like, actually be? You would be Bowser's little son.
What the fuck?
You'd be him.
No, I am not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not Bowser
Jr. You are Bowser Jr. all the way.
No.
No. I'd rather be Toad. No.
I would rather be Toad.
Yeah, you're Toad. Or Bowser Jr.
Fuck you.
I'm Wario.
Fuck you.
You're my Waluigi.
Oh my god. You know what? I'm just Donkey Kong. Fuck you.
Monkey.
Monkey.
Maybe you are Donkey Kong, but you're really bald.
Yeah, Donkey Kong's got like the little curly Q on the front. Yeah.
But he wears a tie and is drippy.
Or he's Diddy Kong.
No!
I played Diddy Kong in Smash the other day.
You're stupid.
I hate Diddy.
He's actually a pretty good character to play as.
What's the guy in the coveralls from Donkey Kong 64? The orangutan guy. That's Spencer.
Great.
That's so niche.
Like the stretchy arms, and he walks around like...
I don't know who you're talking about.
Alright, I'll find him.
Whose turn is it anyways?
It's mine. So I read Son of Satan Classic. It is a trade paperback collection of all of the early appearances of the Son of Satan, or Damon Hellstrom, Hellstorm. His name's always changing.
You're Chunky Kong.
Chunky Kong!
Thanks. Show me show me the mirror. I need to look at what this bitch looks like. Hand me the mirror.
Hang on.
Monk. Wow. He's wearing a diaper!
Can I see?
Fuck you!
Yeah! That's
Fuck you. I do like the spinny hat, though.
I didn't mean to do it on purpose, so it feels so weird!
That was great.
Did you just touch toes?
Yeah!
He leaned back and pushed his feet forward, and like way, way past the midpoint of the table.
Get out of my house.
I didn't do it on purpose this time. That's why it feels weird.
Okay, so Damon Hellstrom is the son of Satan, sort of. Well, in Marvel's mythology, Satan doesn't really exist, and the top tier of demons in hell, sort of, all kind of pretend to be Satan. So, like, Mephisto is basically Satan in, like, pretty much every version because he's the most recognizable and well-known character. But there are other very high demons who are kind of similar ranks of power amongst hell. I don't even remember this character's name. At the time, they were just pretending like it was Satan, but that's because Marvel is fucking incoherent. So he is a child. He is half demon, half man. He has a sister who's a slut. And he is bad. That's kind of the reason why I like this character, is he's not a good guy. He's not even like an anti-hero. He's more like an anti-villain. Like, sometimes he does good stuff, but he's like kind of shitty. His introduction was in Ghost Rider from like 73 or something like that. He came in for a few issues, and it's all of these issues are like from random, you know, Marvel Presents type books, just very random stuff. The character is like the most niche character I'm interested in. I still have yet to read a consistently fantastic run about him because he's so unpopular and weird and hard to write. He's kind of like Doctor Strange and Constantine, but evil, basically. When he is not walking around with a fucking trident, because of course, he's sometimes helping people like exorcise demons or whatever. He doesn't want to be a bad guy, but he's still a bad guy. He's like, I'm not going to be like my dad, literally Satan. So he like has, he controls hell powers and he can, you know, extract demons and stuff. This was really rough, man. Like, there's one book that was really good. The Warren Ellis run was mostly fantastic. It just had a lot of production problems, and it got canceled early, and that was kind of rough. It also gave me the heebie-jeebies. Gave Jacob the really bad heebie-jeebies. But this character has never been done that great, and he keeps popping around because he's cool. He's cool and interesting. Like, he has a cool outfit. Sometimes he has a big cape. Sometimes he has like a big fucking pentagram on his chest. He's got cool designs. He's a redhead, which is weird for Marvel. They don't have a lot of those. So it's interesting. Just the character is really inconsistent between all of these different series from different writers. He's just kind of there. In this book, he feels the most like a generic template character than almost anything I've read. The art is pretty of the time, and by that I mean not great. None of the art here is done by people that I'm very familiar with, so I feel comfortable saying it's just fine. It's stuff from the 70s and I think early 80s, so do with that what you will. Also, this book is really fucking racist. There's a lot of, like I said, crossover issues. Ghost Rider tends to spend a lot of his time in the South, so there's a lot of really weird stereotyping going on for quite a lot of this book. Not good. I'm never reading this again. I'm glad I did it, because this is a character who I can now confidently say I have read every single comic about this character. Not every appearance, because he does pop up in other books from time to time, but I have read every single like self-titled book about Damon Hellstrom, and I can confidently say he's not a good character, but I like him. I bought this book for like $30. It's fucking chunky. It's like this thick. It's a big paperback.
It's huge.
And because it's classic art, it's really dense.
So what's your deal with this character? Like, why do you really want to read about him?
Because he can finally say he's read everything.
Partially that. It's like a completionist brain thing. Also because I do think the character is really interesting. Like, he isn't just, oh, he's like Constantine and Doctor Strange, but bad. Like, he is more complicated than that. The only book that's really done it well is the Warren Ellis run, whereas the dynamic between him and quote-unquote Satan, or whatever higher demon that lives in hell that pretends he's Lucifer sometimes, that he's born from.
Mephisto confirmed.
Basically. Like, the dynamic there is really cool, because it's a whole trying to break away from legacy and destiny and stuff, and I think that's cool. And he smokes cigarettes and says fuck a lot and stuff like that, so you're like...
Relatable.
Yeah, so there's cool aesthetic choices, particularly in the later 80s and early 90s books that are interesting, but it's just such a weird character. Like, I don't know. It's not a popular character. Most people don't know he exists. There's less than 10 published books about him, but if you ask like a Marvel historian, they're absolutely going to know who you're talking about, because like as far as I can tell, it was kind of important for like the push into like the occult side of Marvel during that time period. It just was the least popular part of it. I don't know. He crosses over into Ghost Rider books. He was recently in the Doctor Strange books I was reading for a brief appearance. You know, he's always around. Just none of his books have really gotten him that well. And the early stuff is fucking rough.
Do you know who else is always around?
Our patrons over at patreon.com/DimeComicBrosNetwork. They give us financial support, emotional support.
Financial support.
They show us financial support and financial support. And money, and consistency. They throw money at us, and they get exclusive cool stuff. We have different tiers on our Patreon, like a Patreon should. There are stickers, bookmarks, early access to all of our podcasts, exclusive access to happy hour segments, which are after each podcast, usually.
Did that on purpose.
Yeah, that one was on purpose.
There's a reason I'm hiding my toes in my slippers. It's too hot to be wearing my slippers. Get the...
I'll poke you with my big toe.
I'll poke you with my dick. Stop fighting.
That's gonna be hard to find.
Wow.
So wait, we entertain our patrons, and they throw money at us. That basically makes us strippers.
It's true! We are strippers. Colin is just a straight-up prostitute, but it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm not a whore!
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not Catholic.
I'm a depresso! Fuck!
If you want to help financially support this show, we have a bunch of really cool rewards, mostly art stuff done by Colin, so if you want to just go over to our Patreon, we'd greatly appreciate it. Also, subscribe to our free Substack email newsletter at dimecomicbros.substack.com. It's an email newsletter. Jacob puts up some pretty pictures and types up funny words about what we were doing, the random shenanigans we get up to during each podcast. Go check out our website at dimecomicbros.com. It's recently been updated with all sorts of new sparkly stuff. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram for updates and stuff. And next week...
News. N-O-O-Z. News.
Yes. News.
N-O-O-Z. News. Okay.
O-O-O-Reilly's.
Auto Parts.
Ow!